She may just be the most accomplished interpreter of jazz and pop music today.
They're writing songs of love, but not for me. A lucky stars above, but not for me. With love to lead the way, I found more clouds of gray than any Russian play could guarantee.
She's Marlene Verplank. I'm Fred Macy, and this is the Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. Marlene was once called the finest canary in captivity by Downbeat magazine. That may explain why she's been working steadily for more than half a century, and why most of her live performances are standing room only. In addition to being a soloist and a studio singer, she's sung with everyone from Frank Sinatra to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And now, she's here.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
Who was the first vocalist, Marlene Verplank, that inspired you? The first one that you heard that you listened and said, I've got to sing. I've got to do this for a living myself.
I don't know if I could narrow that down to an instant in saying that I had to sing, because I had been listening to people like Sinatra, Sarah Vaughan, and Billy Eckstein, and Ella Fitzgerald, and all those wonderful people all my life. I didn't start singing till I was 19. So it was just an innate thing, I think, with me, because I was in college majoring in journalism. I said, this is not for me. I really want to be in music. And when I went to sing, of course, I went to sing all the great standards that Sinatra or Sarah Vaughan or Billy Eckstein would have done. But the minute I started to work at it, I've never been out of work a day in my life.
Geez, that's fantastic, especially in this business.
Yeah, it is, because I don't even have a manager or an agent and never did.
Can you pinpoint a first big break? You're a self-made lady, the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you consider a big break. I mean, I think every job is a break. And everything I've ever done has been a step to the next job, because I only get my jobs through either word of mouth or my own aggressiveness. So every job is a break to me.
Oh, that's not bad. That's a good way to look at it, which is probably why you keep working.
Yeah, I think so.
What's the most exciting performer you ever worked with?
Oh, I did work on stage with Mel Torme. Oh. I did a duet with him, too. I shared the stage with him and then also did a duet with him. That was wonderful. And I did work opposite. Oh, I did work with George Shearing only about 2 weeks ago. And that was fantastic. And, I've worked with a lot of exciting people. I'm a studio singer, so I've worked behind many people on records. You'll find my name in the back of a lot of albums, like Sinatra, like Tony Bennett, Perry Como, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Kiss, Peter Allen. You just kind of have to look in the fine print. You'll find my name there.
That, Marlene, is versatility, to say the least.
Yes.
What would you consider to be the high point in your career, or haven't you been there yet?
Well, I think working with people like Mel Torme and George Shearing is definitely a highlight. After all, how many singers get to do something like that? Working with Sinatra, contracting 16 singers for his trilogy album was definitely a highlight. Singing with at Michael's Pub or all the great cabarets in New York, like Danny's Skylight Room and Marty's. Carnegie Hall with the Cool Jazz Festival, that was definitely a highlight. So, there have been so many different things.
Do you prefer clubs to recording studios? Oh, you say you're a studio singer. Which do you actually prefer personally?
I must say that I love the challenge of all of it. I love to record. I love jingles. I love doing it all, because every single instance is a new challenge, and that's the thing I thrive on.
What about the most inspirational thing that may have happened to you? Something that picked you up? Again, walking into a studio situation like this, or anything that mm-hmm. particularly, you know, caused a light to go on and you just said, wow, gosh, I feel all my adrenaline just running around on the outside of my body.
I did do one exciting project that was, I think, one of my biggest challenges yet. The great American composer, contemporary composer named Gunther Schuller, called me one day and said, would you like to do a piece for me, a premiere work at Philharmonic Hall, at Avery Fisher Hall? So I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, I need four singers, two girls and two women and two men. And each person will be in a different section of the orchestra. You'll each be independently working in a different section of the orchestra. I said, well, that's nice. I said, who's going to conduct that? He said, Zubin Mehta. I think that had to be the biggest challenge of my life, because the first run through, I was, since I had never done anything like this before, was completely mind blowing to me. And I made lots of mistakes, and Zubin kept looking at me. Of course, we don't call him Zubin, we call him Maestro.
Naturally.
And he kept calling me, soprano, soprano. And I kept, I was so intimidated on that first run through, and I went home and literally got up the next morning. We had the next day off. That was the first run through. We had that was Monday, and Tuesday we had off till dress rehearsal on Wednesday. And I worked from Tuesday till 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night without stopping, just working on that piece and never letting up until I had that thing down so cold.
Do you consider yourself a workaholic?
If I need to be, sure. I don't mind it at all. I thrive on it.
What do you do to relax?
Oh, I eat and cook.
You look trim. How do you not gain weight and do this?
I work it off real quick. I'm one of those people that has a quick, what they say, a quick metabolism, whatever that is, because I've never gained any weight.
I'd like to get your flash reaction to a couple of things. First thing that comes into your mind, people who fuss over you.
Fuss over me?
Yeah.
There are people who we have around in different parts of the country that write to us all the time, and I find that very flattering. There are songwriters that send me songs, and that's nice. And some of them we do. I'm doing two by unknown songwriters in my new act right now.
What about unisex clothes? That modern look that you can't tell them apart from the back.
I'm totally feminine. I'm totally feminine. I like...
I don't mean do you wear. I mean, what is your reaction when you see that?
I'm not into unisex clothes. I want to be very womanly as I can.
You're not on the liberation bandwagon per se then? Not militantly anyway?
No. As a matter of fact, I've been in a business all my life where it didn't matter if you were a man or a woman to be in the jingle business. The pay has always been the same. We're treated the same. I go into a session and there might be four men and four women, and we're all treated the same and paid equally. That feminist women's lib thing has never affected our business. I've never been part of it, and I want to dress and act like a woman.
Good thinking. Most men like that, and my experience is most women do too. What about old movies?
Ah, I love old movies. There's nothing like Betty Davis and all those MGM musicals. Oh, they were my favorite. That's right. I get a lot of my old songs from those movies.
From the movies?
Yes.
What a good book.
I love a good novel. I love a good fiction novel. I love a good mystery. I love the way Sidney Sheldon intertwines a story. I mean, he's much maligned in the literary field, but you must admit he tells a wonderful story.
Yeah.
And I love Alistair MacLean. He's one of my favorites. And Mickey Spillane tells a great story. I just love a caper. And when I go to the movies, I love a caper.
I see. That's interesting. How about being on the road? Do you go on the road much?
I do sometimes. And we were in Chicago in February. We did 2 weeks in Chicago. What a great town that is. If you haven't been there lately, you'll be in for a good surprise. And I love to go to museums and see the town. We're very touristy when we go to a new town that we haven't been to, like Hollywood or Chicago or Europe or wherever. We go to Europe every year. And we do play the tourist because my husband and I both love to see the land like a tourist. will very oftentimes take a tour bus for the first time there, just to see what it's like, and then do the museums, and then do the gardens, or whatever it is that happens to be there. And we usually plan our vacations around the great restaurants in the world.
You really do like to eat, don't you?
Yes, we really do, and we honestly do that. We honestly plan our trips around great restaurants.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Where does your music take you from here? What do you want to do next?
Oh, I'm just delighted doing everything I'm doing. We're doing all the jazz clubs. We do concerts. We do the festivals. We do cabaret. I still do some studio work. And, you know, you put it all together, and I'm very busy all the time.
Do you have any unexpressed fantasies in terms of your work, or in life in general, for that matter?
I'd like to do a movie theme. That's one thing I'd like to do. I'd like to just keep on singing and doing more of what I'm doing, you know, in maybe bigger settings and maybe more concert form. I love the concert work. And I am doing a little more here and there.
Do you write at all?
No, my husband is a arranger, composer, and conductor. I leave the writing to him.
One in the family's enough.
Yeah, and we work together all the time. It's rare, I guess, for husband and wife to do so, but we do. And it seems to be working quite well.
You seem to be a very happy lady.
I am. I'm doing everything I want to do.
That's perfect. Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you, Fred.
Millions of people outside the jazz world first heard Marlene's voice through her jingles. Did thousands of them back in the 60s. Weekends were made for Michelob, she said. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. That was another one. And the big one you may remember, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good. To name just a few. You may have been listening to her for years without knowing it. And she performed studio work with the likes of Perry Como, Tony Bennett, George Shearing, Hank Jones, and Antonio Carlos Jobim. I already mentioned Frank Sinatra, but did I mention Kiss? Yes, she sang with them too, believe it or not. Whether singing in the background or up front with her own group, on TV or at Carnegie Hall, her career was a long string of success stories that showcased her as a versatile singer, one with a gorgeous, pliable voice, one that knew just how to tell a story. I want to thank you for taking the time to spend a few minutes with us here at the Mark of Jazz. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Marlene Verplank as much as I've enjoyed sharing it with you. If you'd like to hear something special, or if you want to talk about the things you like best, just leave me a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. Until next time, let me remind you of the profound wisdom of Miles Davis, who said, "Don't play what's there, play what's not there."